Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another Arseblog Arscast, right here on arseblog.olayolay.com. After a week in which we dropped vital points in the league, we lost our captain for the rest of the season, and we dragged ourselves back into the Champions League, having been 2-0 down against a Barcelona team who were quite content then to sit back and allow all the media pundits and commentators suck their cock. And while their cock was being sucked, we kept playing football and taught them a valuable lesson. It's a game of 90 minutes, not 60. It is not over until the fat lady sings. Susan Boyle's appearance at the Grove was late and great the other night, and it's all on for Tuesday's return leg in Barcelona. Coming up on this week's show, to talk about those Barcelona games, Perry Groves. He'll be along in a few moments' time. As well as that, Andre Arshavin is here, Sylvester is here. I'll give you the winner of the Cesc t-shirt competition with thanks to Gunnerblog, and there's all the usual bits and pieces as well as looking ahead to the Wolves game this weekend. So plenty to get through. So two draws since we last spoke. The one against Birmingham I didn't get to see very much of. I was down in Galway with Mrs. Bloggs for the Irish Blog Awards. Irish Blog won Best Sports Blog, so that was very nice. Thank you to the organisers of the Irish Blog Awards and to all the people who voted and judged the site, etc., etc. And, of course, thanks to you for reading and writing and listening and all that kind of stuff, which makes Irish Blog so great. Nevertheless, I didn't get to see the Birmingham game because they don't have such a thing as the dodgy satellite down there. I went into a few pubs, even some quite grotty-looking ones who might have that kind of satellite, but they hadn't even heard of it. I went in and said to one guy, "Do you have the satellite? You know, you can show the 3 p.m. games on a Saturday from the Premier League." And he said,
"That ESPN, you mean?"
No, so I was on a hiding to nothing. I was quite able to watch Chelsea spank 7 past Aston Villa, which wasn't much fun. Followed the game on my phone, on the arses. Kind of depressing to see a flurry of messages going, "No!" Right at the end. It was a bit heartbreaking, and I think those 2 points that we dropped are going to be 2 points too many when it comes down to this Premier League title. Even if United and Chelsea draw tomorrow, they still have to drop more points. I know it's not crazy, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that something could happen given the way this season has gone, but I just think we've let it slip, which was unfortunate. I didn't get to see any of it until later on in the bar, and as the awards were going on, I was in the height of my ginnery. Can you say that? I was in the height of my ginnery. I don't care if you can say it or not. I like the sound of it. Me and Tanqueray or Gordon's or whoever it was were great friends at that stage, and I saw Nasri's goal, and then I saw Almunia, and whatever you say about it was a surprise and came at him fast, and fuck's sake, though. Come on. If that had happened to another goalkeeper, you would be pointing at him and laughing and then saying, "Thank fuck he doesn't play for us." Unfortunately, Almunia had another one of those moments on Saturday. Not to blame him, of course, because we had chances to win the game. Nasri could have shot, and Arshavin, another horrendous miss. An air kick in front of goal after Bentner's good work. So it's not all down to Almunia, of course. You know, we could have had the game wrapped up at that stage. But that's the thing about being a keeper. Your mistakes prove to be an awful lot costly than others. You know, people don't point the finger at Arshavin, for example, or Nasri, as much as they do at Almunia. So there you go. Not much fun, I have to say. Even in the height of my ginnery, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't cry, though. Gin doesn't do that to me these days. No, I'm all cried out on gin. Oh, it's a long story, and you don't want to hear it now, let me tell you. And then, of course, there's a game against Barcelona. And while we're all expecting a game with goals, because both teams have an attacking philosophy, you might say. I really wasn't expecting to see Barcelona do that to us, because for the first hour, they were absolutely sensational. There were mitigating circumstances, you have to say. Gallas just back from injury, clearly not fit. Fabregas, having taken a kick on the knee in the Birmingham game, was doubtful for the Barcelona game. I haven't seen the tackle, actually, in the Birmingham game. Arsene Wenger wasn't particularly happy with it. I haven't seen it, so I can't pass any judgment. But when you consider Arsene was saying, well, if the game had taken place on Tuesday, Cesc would not have been fit. I don't know how much could have changed between Tuesday and Wednesday for him to actually be fit. I don't know how much actually did change. I think really it was Cesc's desire to get out and play that game against that particular opposition that got him through. Whether it was a good idea or not, I don't know. We got a bit of a heroic performance from Fabregas, and I'll come to that a bit later on. But the game itself, Barcelona all over us for an hour and then switched off. The introduction of Theo Walcott made a big difference. We got in behind them, it put them on the back foot a little bit, and he scored the goal, and then Cesc got the penalty, and there was the red card and the yellow cards, which means other players are going to miss the second leg. And it was a remarkable result under the circumstances, not only because of the way Barcelona play, but because of all the stuff that we had to go through. We have a captain who wasn't fit. Gallas went off. Arshavin went off. Two of the manager's substitutions were enforced. He only had one player that he could bring on to try and change the game. Thankfully, he picked the right one. So it was some game. Some game. And whatever you want to say about Barcelona's quality, there's no denying it. They're a very brilliant team. And whatever you want to say about our performance on the night, this is a team that has shown over the course of this season some incredible spirit and mental strength to stay in games, to draw games, to win games. And, you know, it would have been very easy for Arsenal to roll over at 2-0 down. And had it ended up 3 or 4, I don't know that anyone would have been too surprised. Obviously hugely disappointed, but not terribly surprised. So it sets it all up very nicely for next week. Anyway, to talk a little bit more about the Barcelona games, I'm joined now by former Arsenal legend Perry Groves. Perry, were Barcelona as impressive to you as they were to everyone else?
I actually thought I'd never see a time where Arsenal were out-footballed. You know, they were out-Arsenaled. And I actually think that Pep Guardiola stole a bit of the march in Arsene Wenger tactically. Because everybody would expect in Barcelona to play 4-3-3, and he played 4-4-2 with Messi just dropping behind Ibrahimovic and Keita wide on one side and Pedro wide on the other. And we couldn't combat that. And to be fair, if it wasn't for Almunia having the 20 minutes of his life, in the first 20 minutes, we could have been 3 or 4 down.
I think we were all looking for a really good game of football and expecting a great game of football, but I don't think anyone really would have scripted the game the way it turned out.
No, I thought it was going to be more end-to-end. You know, they have possession, we have possession. And what it looked like our players seemed to be mentally was they didn't believe that they could win the game. And we didn't adapt quick enough tactically for the way Barcelona were playing. Because when Barcelona were in possession, with Keita getting really wide on the touchline one side and Pedro on the other, giving Xavi and Busquets space to play in the midfield with their two centre-halves fitting as well, Puyol and Piqué, you found that Nasri and Diaby were spare men when they had the ball. You know, they wasn't getting close enough to the Barcelona midfield players, and that's why they could cut us open fairly easily. So sometimes, which we don't do when we haven't got the ball, is we don't stop the other team from playing. And also, when we were in possession, Barcelona were very, very quick to close down. I know they're fantastic on the ball, but one of their great strengths is when the opposition in possession, the nearest man closes the ball, and they all work from there. So we found it very, very tough for the first 20-25 minutes. I'd actually say, to be honest, for the first hour. You know, when we went 2-0 down, most people in the stadium, including myself, thought that's over, it could be 3 or 4. Mm. But great credit to our players. They showed fantastic spirit and resilience to get themselves back into the game with the introduction of Theo Walcott on the right-hand side.
I think you make the point there for an hour, they were absolutely brilliant. What did you think happened to them? Did they get a bit complacent in the sense that they thought the game was over at 2-0, Arsenal hadn't really posed much of a threat? Or did they get a bit tired? Because I don't think Barcelona have to play like that when they play in the Spanish League. They don't have to work as hard to take teams apart as they did last night against Arsenal.
Well, I think what happens is, well, when you have that much of the possession, it can be tiring. You know, when the other team doesn't have possession, you can't get a rest, because trust me, you work just as hard when you're in possession than when you're out of it. But it's more fun, obviously, when you've got the ball. I just think that, obviously, with Arsene making the substitution with Theo coming on the right-hand side, it stopped Maxwell bombing forward. Barcelona then sat a little bit deeper because they were worried about Theo's pace, and that enabled the midfield players such as Danielson to get on the ball a little bit more. And I'd be amazed, seeing as I know that people are saying that Theo's an impact player, you know, last 30 minutes when people get tired, but he did look like that. He held a bit of an Indian sign over him because of his pace. That's why Barcelona sat back a little bit deeper. And we did fantastically well. If you'd have said after even 30 minutes that we'd draw this game 2-2, well, that's a good result for Barcelona. I think it's a better result for us because the game arguably could have ended up like 7-8-3.
Were you surprised at the impact that Theo made when he came on? Because his form has been a bit patchy really this season. And I don't know that too many people expected him to be quite as good as he was.
To be honest, I wasn't surprised. The reason being, I come on the sub a few times myself, obviously, and when your team's 2-0 down, you've got nothing to lose. If the team goes on to lose 3 or 4 nil, it's not your fault. If you come on and you have an impact and obviously scoring as you did, or you make a goal and you get your side back into it, and it gives the crowd a lift, it gives your own team a lift, Barcelona sat a bit deeper, the momentum changes, then you become a hero. And I actually thought Theo, his decision-making was a lot better last night. Sometimes he gets into good positions and his final ball is poor. But last night he looked like he was playing a lot of confidence. I think it's because the pressure was off. You know, as I said, coming down on 2-0 down, you have nothing to lose.
What about the second leg then? Obviously there's injuries with Cesc, and we'll come to that in just a moment. But how do Arsenal approach this? Do they sit back and hope to sneak a goal, or do they have to go for it and try and fight fire with fire in a way?
I'd love to say that we could sit back and play a cagey game and be nice and solid, you know, and try and get in 0-0 at half time so that the crowd at New Camp, you know, sort of start getting a little bit edgy. But that's not the way that we play. You know, we can't play like that. We never look solid defensively, even when we're, you know, attacking teams. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal plays a 4-1-4-1 formation instead of his 4-3-3 with Song just sitting in the back, you know, in protecting the two centre halves, which Sol Campbell will probably play, and then ask his midfield players to go man for man when Barcelona in possession. But then you need pace to join in, obviously, if Bentner plays up front on his own, which I thought he was one of our better players last night, Nicholas Bentner. I thought he played very, very well up front on his own. So then you need pace from the flanks to join in with him, which would probably be Theo Walcott on one side and Rositsky on the other.
Cesc Fabregas obviously is going to be a huge loss for the second leg. We know we've heard the news, he's out now for the rest of the season. Well, for 6 weeks anyway. He might get to the Champions League final if we get there. Last night he took a penalty with a broken leg and stayed on with a broken leg. After getting the booking, of course, as well, which would have ruled him out of the second leg anyway. I know you played under a captain like Tony Adams, who was very vocal and very obviously a captain, a leader on the pitch. Cesc is more of a guy who leads by example, by the way he plays. You can't really ask for a better example than what he did last night.
Exactly. I mean, he wouldn't have known that he had a hairline fracture. He's obviously fibula when he was playing. He probably felt a bit discomfort. You could tell that he wasn't 100% because obviously the whack that he took on his knee against Birmingham, but he needed to play. He's desperate to play, and he was leading by example. He didn't really have much influence on the game because, to be honest, Barcelona was so good, you know, for the first hour. But then you're asking your captain to take a last-minute penalty to, you know, keep yourself in the tie, which was massive pressure at home when your team's been completely outplayed, which he did. And obviously, as soon as we've made the three substitutions, he couldn't go off, and you want your captain to lead like that. Although he just hobbled around, and he probably didn't do his injury any good. You want to see your captain leading by example, and your team follows him, and that's exactly what he did. It'll be devastating for him not to be out playing the new camp, obviously coming from there as a 16-year-old. But there's an opportunity from somewhere else. Someone like Samir Nasri, who I thought was outstanding against Porto, you know, when he played in that position in the last Champions League game when we beat him 4-0, and he scored a fantastic individual goal. So it's a great chance for someone else to take responsibility.
Would Nasri would be your choice to do that? Because obviously you can put Theo into the front three, or if he's going to play a front three indeed. Nasri's really begun to look the part recently.
Yeah, well, I think when he came on, you can see his confidence when he came on against Birmingham in the last 20 minutes. He obviously helped us turn the game and nearly nicked it for us. And that he's very, very good at keeping the ball in tight situations. And when you go to the Nou Camp, you've got to keep possession. And I think if you see the stats last night, it's very rarely that you see this. Barcelona had 62% of possession against us. We normally do that to other teams. So what you need to be is be confident and comfortable in possession when you go in there. And you also have to have a game plan to stop Barcelona from playing. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that Barcelona can't play as well again. But with the quality they've got, Iniesta will come back in. You know, he's their playmaker. Xavi took on that mantle last night. They've got fantastic players, and that is the model that you want to follow. And the thing that stuck out for me last night was Barcelona actually went into that big game knowing they could win it. Where our team at the moment go in the game thinking they can win. And I'm hoping as well that it'll take a lot of confidence because they have been outplayed for an hour, but they stuck in there, showed some guts and some resilience, got back to 2-2. So from should have been well out of the tie, which Pep Guardiola would have expected them to be, Arsenal's still in it. So if you can put it this way, if George Graham was in charge, he would go there to try and get in at half-time 0-0 at the Nou Camp and you're still in the game. Mm. If you go 1-0 down and you lose the first goal, it's going to be very difficult to score two because I've been looking at their stats in the Liga. In their last, I think, 7 or 8 home games, they've only conceded twice in those games, and that's because they have so much possession.
Yeah, didn't Liverpool have similar stats like that, though, in 1989? So
exactly. Well, we went there with an unusual game plan for us back in 89 because we played a sweeper and we played 4-4-2 all season. You know, and people obviously think you're going to go gung-ho, but if you do go that way, there's one team in the world that will rip you apart, will be Barcelona. You know, so you've got to go there with confidence. You've got to go there being positive when you're in possession, but when you're out of possession, you have to have a game plan to try and stop them from playing. And I thought in the first... definitely half hour, we didn't seem to know how to stop them from playing because we're used to dominating possession all the time. So it was a great learning curve for the players. And for once, I thought that the game lived up to its billing. You know, I said all, you know, for 2 weeks before, and it will be a feast of football because both teams will want to go and attack the others. You know, if you saw last year Chelsea against Barcelona, Chelsea set out to stop Barcelona playing over the two legs, and arguably they could have nicked it. Whereas the way that we play is a different philosophy. We go and take teams on playing football. We create enough chances ourselves as well. You know, Nicolas Bentner had a great header, which Valdez pulled off a brilliant save. He hit the post himself. So we create our own chances, you know. So it's not completely undoable, but it's going to be very, very difficult.
Leaving Barcelona aside very quickly, how have you viewed the season as a whole? Even if it ends without a trophy and the way the injuries are stacking up, it's going to be a real struggle to drag.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Ourselves over the finish line. How have you viewed it? Has it been successful? Do you see progress this season that wasn't necessarily there last season?
I see the team has matured. You know, and I think that they've grown up when times in games are pretty hard. When you go back to the Stoke game, You know, when Ramsey gets his horrific injury 18 months ago, we wouldn't have won that game. You know, that would have affected them. But also, I think we need a couple of players, which I've been saying all season. You know, we need a different style of player, a combative midfield player. We need another forward. We've missed Van Persie, you know, which is a massive miss for us. And as well as what Almunia played last night in the first half, I think we need a top-quality goalkeeper. We're not far away, but then if you look at our performances against the top sides, the Manchester Uniteds, the Chelseas, and even last night, we're still a little bit short, but not a million miles away.
All right, we better leave it there. Perry Groves, thank you very much.
No worries.
Thank you very much indeed to Perry Groves for his thoughts on Arsenal, Barcelona and Arsenal season so far. Hopefully we'll get him back on the Arsecast in the very near future. Now, before we go ahead and look forward to the Wolves game, talk a bit about Cesc and, of course, look ahead to the Barcelona game on Sunday, one man who limped out of the first leg is Andre Arshavin. Here he is.
Hello, I am Arshavin, and this week we have a difficult week. Play two game and make two draw. First game we play Birmingham in the winning game until last minute when Almunia make impression of Sergei. He's my little cousin. He's a living attic. You know type. And later we play Barcelona in Champions League quarter, and it's very difficult game to play because they are an excellent team and no.
Are you okay in there?
No.
What's wrong?
I don't feel like do it this week.
It doesn't really matter if you don't feel like it. You've got a contract. You've got to do it.
Okay, I have a contract, but so?
You're not being asked to do this for free. You know, you're being paid. So, you know, if you wouldn't mind.
No, just don't feel like do this week. So please get somebody, different person to do this bit.
Yeah, at this short notice.
No. That's it. I go now.
Where the fuck? Where are you going? You can't just... Fucking hell.
Andre Arshavin will be back in 3 weeks, maybe? Or on the next Arscast. Who can say? I want to go from talking about Arshavin, though, to talking about Cesc Fabregas. And we know what the game against Barcelona meant to him and what the game would have meant to him were he playing on Tuesday. He got that injury in the Birmingham game and played on because he's got a sense of commitment to this team that maybe not every player has. He played through the pain. Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe the manager should have taken him off. But it's at the time of the season where you want all your best players and all the games are so important. There's no room for error. There's no chance to catch up, you know. So I can see why he stayed on against Birmingham. And against Barcelona, he was, I suppose, as bamboozled as the rest of the players. He clearly wasn't fit. I think he wanted to play. Because of the opposition, in hindsight, you would have to say we might have been better resting Cesc for the home game and making sure he was fit and ready for the away leg. But hindsight is a wonderful thing. And I suppose Arsene Wenger has to trust the medical staff and he has to trust Cesc if Cesc says that he's feeling okay to play. I think had it been any other team, he would have missed the game. But he got a booking in the first half, and he knew what that booking meant. He knew that he was going to be out of the second leg in Barcelona, a chance to play at the Nou Camp for Arsenal, a club that he loves, against Barcelona, a club that he also loves because of his tradition there and because he grew up supporting them and grew up playing for them. And as an occasion in a footballer's life,
I suppose they don't get more special than that. And he knew he was going to miss that game. A lot of players would react badly to that. They might cry, or they might sulk, or they might, you know, not Fabregas. Despite the fact he really wasn't at his best, I'd say he was probably around 60% fit, if even that. He kept going and kept playing and kept trying to get Arsenal back into the game. And to then win the penalty, not win a penalty, it sounds like he did something wrong. The penalty, or the foul, was committed on him by Puyol. And the pressure he was under there to step up and score that goal against his old club, for the club that he does love, the club that he's captain of, playing through pain, clearly, playing when maybe he shouldn't have played. He stepped up and smashed that penalty home and then played on for another 10 minutes just so Arsenal would have a numerical advantage on the pitch. He couldn't do anything with the ball. People wouldn't give it to him for the most part. I think he maybe touched it once or twice since then. He was obviously banjaxed. And maybe he should have come off then. Maybe the manager should have insisted. We don't know if he really did himself any more damage or not. But he stayed on to ensure that Arsenal had a numerical advantage on the pitch in the wake of Puyol sending off. And he knew he was banjaxed. He must have known his leg was fucked. You know, and not just a bang that you can run off or stick ice on. He knew something bad had happened to him. And maybe it's, you can say after as well, he's a bit silly not to come off himself and Arsene Wenger. But this is the commitment that he's got. This is the commitment that the captain of this football club has. To step up and score a penalty with a cracked bone in his leg. And it's a terrible shame for him that he's going to miss the rest of this season, because he's had an absolutely outstanding season, I think. Obviously, in terms of his goals, his assists, his work rate, his match-winning abilities, he's had a truly fantastic season. I think he's taken a step up, and I think we should be grateful that we have a player who is willing to put himself on the line for the good of the football club. The talk about him going back to Barcelona has been never-ending. It hasn't stopped. For ages and ages, and there's a new story every week. Yet he quashes those stories time and time again. We're not stupid enough to believe that at some point he's not going to go back there. He will do at some point, but not yet. And I think the way he performs, the way he tries to do his best for Arsenal every time he goes out, the commitment he makes in terms of rubbishing all those news stories, and just the way he wants to win every game. I think there are some players in our team who could do very well to look at Cesc Fabregas and learn something from him, because he sets a good example, not just to the younger players either, but some of the experienced players. So his season is over, but I think we've got to give him a virtual standing ovation for what he's done and for what he was prepared to do, and for the way he battled for the Arsenal cause. He's a real Arsenal man, and I love Cesc. What can I tell you? He is the man, definitely. All right, then. We'll be looking ahead to the Barcelona game and the Wolves game right after this.
Hello, everyone. It's me again, Sylvester. Oh, what a week we have had. It has been heartbreaking. We lose the lead against Birmingham, then we draw against Barcelona, and we lose all those players to injuries. Little Cesky Cesc, William, Andre, oh, it's going to be so difficult now. But I've been to see the boss and I told him I very much want to play in the away leg. I said to him, you have to play me. This ground is suited to me and me alone. He said, why is that? I said to him, well, they don't call it the new camp for nothing, darling. Oh, baby!
Show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me? So more from Sylvester on another Arsecast in the very near future. Right, we've got two games to preview, because there's two games before we talk again on next week's Arsecast. First up at the weekend, Wolves at home, and I suspect there's going to be a good deal of rotation and resting going on. There are injury problems. Obviously, no Arshavin and no Gallas, both of them out for at least 3 weeks with calf problems, apparently. No Fabregas. Danielson has got a groin problem. Gael Clichy's got a back problem. The manager is definitely going to have an eye on Barcelona next week. So I reckon we could see Traore play. I think Sylvester will play at centre-half with Vermaelen, because he'll want Sol Campbell for Tuesday. And he'll think, well, Sol can't play two games in a row. And it is Wolves. We should be able to cope with Sylvester at the back. I'm not saying we will, but we should be able to cope. I think Eduardo will play. Carlos Vela might play. Thomas Rosicky will certainly play. Theo Walcott could play. Nasri could be rested. Bentner could be rested. He's definitely going to have an eye on the Barcelona game. As for the Barcelona game itself, fucked if I know what's going to happen. When we were 2-0 down the other night, nobody gave us a snowball's chance in hell of getting back into the game the way we were playing, the way they were playing, and we got it back to 2-2. We're going there without a load of important players, our captain, our talisman, the best player we've had this season, and nobody's going to give us a snowball's chance then either. But fucking hell, who knows? Just give it a bash and see what happens. We got to attack them. We have to score a goal. It's as simple as that. A goalless draw is no good to us. So we've got to go and attack them. So who knows? It'll be a fun game, I think. I don't see us playing quite as badly as we did at home. So maybe it won't be the walkover that Barcelona, and a lot of Barcelona fans seem to think it's going to be. And I have to say that Barcelona fans are quite... don't want to label them all with the one brush, but they're so arrogant. They think the way they play is the best, which, you know, fairness, they probably have a point there. But there's just no bend in many of them, you know. And they're a bit annoying, you know. And I've lots of Barcelona friends, and they are kind of annoying. As for Barcelona itself, it's going to be a good trip over. Loads of Arsenal fans to a great city. The sun will be shining, I hope. The weather will be fucking warmer than here. I can guarantee you that. It's been freezing the last few days here in Dublin. And there's going to be lots to do. People have been asking me about places to eat and drink. There's just loads and loads of places to eat and drink in Barcelona. Follow your nose. Don't be afraid by the look of a place. Sometimes the best tapas places are the horrible little old man bars with three old fellas sitting at the counter drinking their canyas, and, you know, don't be afraid to go in and try. The Irish bars and the English bars, which I suppose are going to get a big influx of fans, are expensive. They're probably more expensive than going to a bar here. So a pint of Guinness in Barcelona is going to cost you more than it would cost in England or in Ireland. But of course they're familiar and the staff will speak English and all that. So if that's what you want to do, go right ahead. There's loads of them. Absolutely loads of them. The local bars are cheaper. The local beers are cheaper. The only advice, or the only two pieces of advice I would give you if you're going over are, number one, do not eat or drink on the Ramblas in the particularly outside areas, on the terraces there. They will rip you off as much as they possibly can. And number two, just keep an eye on your bags and your wallets and your back pockets and things like that when you're walking about the Ramblas, particularly in and around the train stations, the metro station there. There's a lot of light-fingered folk around. Apart from that, choose anywhere to eat and drink, and it's probably going to be good. There's just so much to choose from in Barcelona. It's not like here where there's bars that just get full. If a bar is full and it doesn't have any seats, people just go to the next bar because there's so many of them around. Explore the city a bit. Take the tourist buses. If you're there early, if you're there on Monday, the tourist buses are a great way to see the city. You can hop on, hop off, have a beer here, have a beer there. There's so much to see. It's a fantastic city. It's going to be a great couple of days if you're going over. If there is an Arsenal pub or an Arseblog pub that we get to, I shall more than likely just stick it up on Twitter or text somebody. They can put it up on the Arses. And, you know, if you fancy coming along for a beer, you're more than welcome. The game itself, I reckon it could get cold in the evening because we're going to be very, very high up in the Nou Camp. I don't know what else to tell you. It's Barcelona. You're all grown-ups. You can have a fucking good time without me telling you what to do. So for the game itself, let's just keep fingers crossed. Who knows? Who knows? It's a strange season. This is a very strange season. Barcelona could have won that game 5-6-0 the other night. They ended up drawing it 2-2 with their two main central defenders who are going to miss the next game. And maybe there's a little sign in there somewhere. I don't know. My voice is going now, probably because I'm talking too much shite. So we'll leave it there. Fingers crossed for tomorrow, because 3 points in the league would be the perfect way to go into the game against Barcelona. No more disappointment. Let's get the momentum going again, and let's go and fucking have a good lash at it in the Nou Camp on Tuesday night. So until next week's Irishcast, take it easy. Safe travels if you're going over, and maybe I'll see you there. Take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
I'm hoping to play a part against Barcelona. I've been to see the boss and I said to him, look, you have to play me against Barcelona. This fucking geek can't fuck shit bollocks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.